Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness. I am so honored to have this opportunity to connect with you again this evening. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show Higher Consciousness. And as I do each week, I like to give background information for our new listeners. Currently, I teach psychology at colleges. I have a private counseling practice. I am a certified Reiki master and energy medicine practitioner. In addition to that, I am a certified metaphysician, life coach, author, and aromatherapist. And I live in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain, Georgia. And as I always do at the beginning of my show, I state the reason for my developing this show. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, divine relationships, the law of attraction, divine prosperity, and universal laws. On our show tonight, we will have guests, and on future shows where we have guests. I alternate between having guests on my show and not having guests on my show. So this evening, we have the wonderful opportunity of having three wonderful people talk to you about tonight's topic. Higher Consciousness is now a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. This rule automatically raises your vibrational level as well, so that you can receive respect. So tonight's topic is Metaphysics and Near-Death Experiences Part 2. If you want to join in the discussion, please call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And for those who want to use the internet, type in http://tobtr.com/s/43081195. Again, the URL is http://tobtr.com/s/, and the number is 43081195. Internet users, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to join the discussion. And only one call at a time, please. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin. And my purpose is to to connect with you on a heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to heal and grow spiritually. Last week, we had three listeners, live listeners, and it was a holiday. It was Dr. Martin Luther King's, it's not his actual birthday. His actual birthday is January the 15th, but they celebrate it the third Monday in January. So it was a national holiday, and it was the inauguration of our 44th president, President Barack Obama. So we had fewer live listeners. We had three listeners and on the computer and four live callers. However, since that show aired, we have had 798 downloads. Close to 800 people have downloaded that show since last week. So what happens is if you are unable to make any of the shows live, feel free to download the shows. And that's when we get a lot of our listening audience to listen in on the show after the show has already aired. You can download it at any time of the day or the evening. And I'm so very thankful to you for listening to Higher Consciousness and for sending the information to your friends and your family and your coworkers. Please continue to do so. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I feel so honored. Now, since October the 22nd, 2012, we have had 12,604 listens, which includes the live calls. And this is only since October the 22nd, which is about 3.5 months. And that is phenomenal. Okay? We've had, again, 12,604 listens, which includes all the downloads and people who listen to the show live. And again, remember, if you can't join us live, just go to the website and you can hear all of the shows, which are archived. Now, even though we may live a divine life, know who we are, and know about the I Am presence within us, we sometimes still experience fear, which is false evidence appearing real. And that causes us to remain in the matrix due to not understanding the law of attraction, because fear is going to bring to you what you most dread. So that's the law of attraction. Whatever you focus your attention upon is going to be drawn to you. And being in the matrix, which is controlled thinking, causes people to remain in the matrix and inadvertently use the law of attraction. And we talked about the Mayan principle over a month and a half ago with Kaya Aman. And like I've said in other shows, I know that most of you have experienced an energetic shift within your bodies. I know that I have. So since December 21st, the energy, as I stated in other shows, has shifted. The energy now is an energy of love. And those who are still operating on the illusion of fear, which is false evidence appearing real, who are still operating on the illusion of greed or hate or confusion or discord or chaos and the like, you're now going to have more drama, trauma, karma, because the energy is love. So if you still are operating under the old paradigm, you're going to bring more heartbreak and more chaos into your life. So since the controlling energy is now universal love, that is accelerating your energy. And I talked about Reiki a few weeks ago, and Reiki is the universal love which causes your energy, your energetic body and your body to shift. With Reiki, you can shift your finances to a higher vibration. You can shift any illnesses out of your body. You can shift negative thoughts out of your body. Reiki is just really powerful, and it's being used in the cancer treatments, treatment centers of America throughout the country. They have Reiki practitioners, and I'm a Reiki master. So, and I did a group meditation, and people have called me and said, wow, they can really feel the energy in that group meditation. So if you did not participate in the show live, or if you have not heard this show, the archive show, please listen to it at your earliest convenience so you can experience the healing energy of Reiki that goes through all of your energetic bodies. And if you would like a private long-distance Reiki healing or in-person Reiki healing, you may call me at 770-808-8051 to set up an appointment or to attend a Reiki class. And Reiki is spelled R-E-I-K-I. Okay, so now tonight's topic, metaphysics and the near-death experiences, part two. If you want to join in the discussions again, dial 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. I would like to thank everyone again for joining us this evening. And this evening we are very fortunate to have three guests joining us. And they are Ms. ZJ Rashad, who is an event planner and business developer. Again, her name is Ms. ZJ Rashad, an event planner and business developer. Mr. Hugh Charlson, who is a global humanitarian. Again, the second guest is Mr. Hugh Charlson, a global humanitarian. And our third guest is Mr. Wendell Matthews, a gifted metaphysician. Again, the third guest is Mr. Wendell Matthews, who is a gifted metaphysician. This week's topic will include the discussion that we had on December 31st about near-death experiences in metaphysics. The guests will share their personal near-death experiences and or their powerful metaphysical experiences. And they will discuss the ways these supernatural events have transformed their lives. Each guest has had numerous experiences that have convinced him or her that there is another dimension other than planet Earth. I can guarantee you that this show tonight will definitely shift your consciousness about life and the mysteries that exist beyond the veil. Be prepared to become enlightened. So for the first show on this topic, we discussed what metaphysics is. And the definition for metaphysics is dealing with anything that is not physical. So we're going to talk tonight at length, about metaphysics and what it is. And each person in my listening audience has experienced it. If you believe in any belief system, be it Islam, Christianity, Yoruba, Judaism, native religions from people of the native ancestry in this country, Buddhism, Confucianism, the Tao, whatever your belief system is dealing with metaphysics, because you're dealing with something in concepts that you cannot see. So that's all it is. And people hear the word metaphysics and they become a little nervous and uncomfortable. But it's all it's talking about is just dealing with something that's beyond the physical. And as I stated this, earlier, we have three wonderful guests who are going to enlighten us about their experiences. This is the first time I've had three guests on at once. My show has become so popular, Higher Consciousness has become so popular, that people are asking me to be on the show Or I'm identifying people whom I think my listening audience would really learn a lot from. Like last week we had Reverend Banks, who is my neighbor, who was the bail bondsman for Dr. King in Birmingham, Alabama during the 60s. And Reverend Banks is a retired reverend and a retired lawyer. But during the 60s, he was still practicing law, and Dr. King contacted his company to ask him to provide his legal services, and he had a bonding company. So Reverend Banks bailed out 1,400 people during the Civil Rights Movement, and his participation is so important because but for his bailing out the protest marchers, we would not have had a movement because everyone would have remained in jail. And during that time, it was not fashionable for white companies to bail out people, particularly people whom they considered to be agitators. So Reverend Banks has a powerful testimony. If you did not hear last week's show, please go online to the website. And I gave a URL earlier. Go online to the website, and you will see all my past shows, and definitely listen to what Reverend Banks has had to share. What I'm going to do, since I have three guests, is I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to bring in the first guest. I'm going to give each person 15 minutes, and then we're going to go back and open up the lines for people to ask them questions. And the first guest I know, I see his number, Mr. Hugh Charlson. So rather than bringing him in at 7:30, I'm bringing him in at around 7:16 so we can begin our show. Good evening, Hugh. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Dr. Franklin. A pleasure to talk to you again, and fascinating shows you're having. And that's what the world needs, is a higher consciousness, and we'll get there.
Yes, most definitely, most definitely. I'm so honored to have you and Ms. Rashad and Mr. Matthews join me on the show this evening. So just give people some background information, and then I know at 7:30 I'm bringing in another guest, and then at 7:45 another, but I'm going to have each of you on and having like a little round table discussion, but I just want each of you to have your own private time first. Okay, give us some background information.
That would take probably a couple of days with all the experiences I've had, but in essence, I was what might be termed a silver spooner. I had very successful entrepreneurial parents. In fact, my last name has global recognition in the food service field, and I grew up in the having privileges and things, but that's not all it's cracked up to be either, because I spent 7 years in boarding school, fifth grade and grammar school through junior year in high school and summer camp, so wasn't that much of a home life either at times. But in any event, you make the best of whatever circumstance you're in, and it's all a learning process anyway. It's what you mm-hmm. do with everything you learn throughout your life and how you handle it. And when you learn that love is the most important energy, that's where you should put your focus for everything. And if you let go and let God when you can't handle things, then it always works out beautifully. But after going through the school systems, I always wanted to explore and do things. I went out, I got a 63 Volkswagen Beetle. I went out to Colorado and was a cowboy on a quarter horse ranch and sort of lived the lifestyle of an old TV show called Route 66 until Vietnam heated up, and then I signed up and spent 4 years in the Air Force, and when I came out, I went to work for my father's company for about 7 years, and things just were not going the way I was hoping. It was the old German authoritarian type, so it's everything his way, and I did separate from the company and was actually at a point where it was difficult because I was going to college at night under the GI Bill. I had a young wife and two little babies, and then I had to start all over, and being in near the headquarters of the company having the same name as the product, I just wasn't able to get hired, people would judge and think that either I'm a screw-up or I'm going to go back to the company someday. So I relocated up to New Hampshire, wound up getting flooded out in the blizzard of 1978 with about 18 inches of ocean water all over a first-floor apartment, and had no insurance, and wound up getting a SBA loan for about $10,000, which I eventually paid off, relocated to New York, and worked low-level jobs again, and wound up working at Union Carbide's world headquarters. I was there when they had the gas leak over in Bhopal, India, the biggest industrial accident, and I was actually guarding them in their war rooms and what have you, and so it's been extremely interesting. And even when I was working 100-hour weeks for many, many years, I also wanted to test my entrepreneurial wings and started a sole proprietorship, functioning as an independent international marketing consultant, and had all kinds of very interesting experiences. And that's what people should do. They shouldn't limit themselves to being controlled by others, but they should a good heart-to-God alignment and follow their passion, and also look what they can do with their children, not controlling children so much, but finding what that child's interest is as young as possible, to let them hone and develop a skill that may work into an entrepreneurial venture that could have a college tuition paid for by the time they're ready for college, or they may choose not to go to college because you bless them leaving a legacy that they're set in a business or something that they want to do for the rest of their lives. That's the way we really have to start focusing and living our lives, and stop getting caught up in the drama of all the horrible things that are going on in the world. They've been going on since, I guess, Cain and Abel days. So,
I agree.
If we look for solutions instead of going into fear, and doing it from a place of unconditional love, and starting with ourselves and rippling that out throughout the community and around the world, we'll truly get there very quickly. So in any event, I eventually had a job as a contract security officer, and I lost my Earth Angel wife of 35 and a half years. And
I'm sorry.
Well, it's a transition, and she's with me in spirit. That's what people have to understand, too. We're
right,
all going to go
very true.
Eventually. So, if she, and I'll talk to her. It may sound crazy, but, you know, she's still with me. So.
Mm-hmm.
People can get caught up in all kinds of ways with grief. There's no set pattern or any way people can go through a grieving process. So you have to sort of let that person figure it out for themselves, but if you can keep them in focus, that always treasure the beautiful times that you had with your loved one, and maybe do something in their memory. In my wife's memory, I'm actually working on a huge paradigm, which I had no knowledge that I would be doing. I'm actually bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love. The unconditional love is a lesson my wife blessed me with, and I can't thank her enough for that. So I'm also looking to empower women globally as well as indigenous peoples, because it's time for them to come back into the forefront and help heal Mother Earth and give us some more loving direction for our future. A month and a half after my wife died, I almost died. I was working as a contract security officer in a patrol car on March 16, 2007. I couldn't breathe. I called my daughter, who said, "Dad, call the police." And they came and got me on oxygen and got me to the hospital. And I lost consciousness in the emergency room, which I have no recollection of, but I was intubated, where they stick the tube down you that not too many people survive. And on Sunday, I woke up, and when I was waking up is when I actually thought I was dying. I envisioned my head as a big black marble, and it exploded in a big whoosh into the universe in minute, colorful particles of all different colors, reds, greens, browns, whites, oranges, blues, what have you. And then I opened my eyes and saw family at the foot of the bed in ICU. And I interpret that I have a big mission to get out to the world before I do go back into spirit. So that was the explosion, and colors, bringing it to all different races in all different ways. I didn't put too much weight on the whole experience until I went through rehab and then relocated from New York down to Virginia. And the following Easter of 2008, I was walking around for exercise, and something prompted me to look at a calendar. And when I did, I saw, oh, that's interesting. March 16, 2007 was a Friday afternoon where I lost consciousness and came to on a Sunday. That's the time frame of Jesus dying and then resurrecting. Now, I had mentioned that reverend type, and she said, oh, you're very special. I said, I'm not special at all, but because I had that experience, I feel that I do have a special relationship with Jesus, and I still feel that, and I actually have asked Jesus to be my business partner. So now I'm an unlimited well of creativity, as well as being a creative, intelligent force, and my wife also working with me too. It's just a wonderful. I feel in bliss all the time as I help empower people and bless them by opening up their minds to help them become more spiritual and creative and bless others. There's a poem that I authored that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library that sums up life pretty much, and it's only three lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. If we can just contemplate that poem, it will force us to take an action to help someone less fortunate than ourselves. And when we do that, we're actually doing what Jesus said, and we're blessing ourselves in the process. The law of attraction is very simple and basic. What you put out is what you get back. So why would you want to put out fear and hate and greed when you can put out love and get that back? So that's a little bit of what my life is. I don't know if you want to ask me any questions at this point or move on to another guest.
No, I think that this is really, 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 really profound. I'm going to talk a little to you and then bring on other two after the commercial at 7:30, and bring on the second guest, and then at 7:45 the third, and then have an open discussion and forum. I think that your life is so impressive, Hugh. I'm just so impressed with you. And I'm impressed with my other two guests as well. You know, but when I met you over the phone, and listening audience, be very, very aware that I've not met any of these people in person except Wendell Matthews. Other two guests I've not met in person. But when I hear people's stories, or if someone refers them to me, and I think their stories can change the lives of people in the listening audience and my life as well, then I want to share that information with my listening audience. And hearing your story and your humility is so, so, so impressive. Excuse me, because I think one of the things that we have seen is that there are people who have been blessed like you and who have had these wonderful experiences, and they're not humble. And the greatest gift to me is for someone to receive or have the gift of humility, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of forgiveness, of being a forgiving heart. That outweighs all of the money, and the money will come after that, because what you're doing is you're now activating your God essence, your God qualities, because each of us is born with those qualities. But the matrix thinking, which I talked about and alluded to earlier, and that I had a whole show on, convinces us to be in the world and of the world. You can be in this dimension, but you don't have to have it affect you. Now, that's very challenging, and I've seen people who've been able to master that, and from what you've told me, Hugh, and from our conversations, I know that you are an embodiment of unconditional love, as you said your wife was as well, and I'm just so honored to have you on the show this evening and to share your story. And when we come back, I'm going to a brief commercial break, And Hugh is going to remain on the line, and I'm bringing in my next guest. And then after that, I'm bringing in my third guest, and the phone lines will be open. If you want to join us, you can join us after this commercial break.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Greetings. This is Professor Jamila Franklin, and welcome to Higher Consciousness. And who is this guest? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? This is Wendell Matthews.
Okay, Wendell, you're on the air.
Hey, sorry. Sorry, I didn't know I was up next.
Yes. Okay, so Wendell Matthews is the next person. As I said, he is a gifted metaphysician. So, Wendell, give the audience some information about you, and you have the floor for 15 minutes, and then I'm bringing in the third guest.
Okay, great. Well, first, I'd like to thank you for having me on, and Mr. Charlson's story is incredible, and I think the show is really, really awesome, and I just appreciate
you.
The opportunity. So I think it's a very positive, high vibration. It's something that I can definitely get down with, and it's right up my alley in terms of my experiences. It's my firm understanding that there's scientific proof of spirit
mm-hmm.
in the human experience itself, and this is precisely because humans are spirits, and they're spirits inside of physical bodies, and
mm-hmm.
this is a human being. The Apostle Paul, he said that I die daily. And this was, he said this in Corinthians. This is something that it's a quote that many people are familiar with. But what he was describing was his direct connection with God, his divine connection that he was able to establish through prayer, a form of meditation that he participated in daily. And I definitely had a near-death experience, but it was to actually teach others that you don't need to have a near-death experience to participate on the astral plane and to
mm-hmm.
experience the benefits of receiving information in that type of capacity. It's a higher level download, and I think that Mr. Charlson would definitely echo that he received his information very quickly and in a way that he's never received from a teacher, person, book, show, or anything like that. It's all extrasensory, and it's all intuitive, and it starts at the root of our consciousness, which is strangely the highest consciousness that we have, and it's our spiritual self. And we can connect to that spiritual self while here on the earthly plane through
mm-hmm.
continuous efforts to move towards that higher Christ-like consciousness. In other words, moving closer and closer to our higher selves every day connects us with the vibrations of unconditional love, compassion, and ultimately leaves us in a state of infinite awareness. But this takes time and practice. At a fundamental level, again, the Apostle Paul was able to confidently say that he dies daily, without actually having a near-death experience per se each day, by understanding that he is spirit. And understanding that you're spirit is understanding that you are a light body. You're composed of electromagnetic energy. And Einstein actually made significant advancements in terms of our understanding of what electromagnetism is. And he declared that no ether existed and that the electromagnetic fields were physical entities in their own right, which could travel through empty space and could not be explained mechanically. And so each of us have an electromagnetic field, a spiritual body, that can travel through empty space and our travel not be explained mechanically. Is precisely what astral projection
That's astral travel, yeah.
Right, this is precisely what astral travel is. This is the function of the means of transportation for the spiritual body. And this is where we can have spiritual interaction. So fundamentally, to achieving this spiritual awareness, to reach the astral plane, is just meditation. And the meditation comes in so many various forms. At this point, you know, what we see is that the clearest indicator of the shift that's been going on for years now, and which in a lot of ways is peaking in terms of the global awareness of the shift, is the increase in awareness about the self-healing capacities of the humans. And so through yoga and qigong and all kinds of different methods, and people are understanding they can create their own means of meditation, people have accomplished a lot of different feats, you know, beating cancer, you know, beating their own illnesses. You know, there are documentaries about all these different things that people didn't know. There are documentaries about, you know, there's a woman who can heal with sound. She can create harmonic waves with her voice. That's not typical of humans, but, you know, she operates from a more intuitive place. And this is a general shift in consciousness, and this is actually neurological in terms of what parts of our brain we're using. We're going from being a left-brained society to being a more right-brained guided society, and that's a more intuitive society. This is all the way into corporate America. Corporate America is looking for more people who are more humorous, people who are more dynamic, people who are more design-oriented, people who are more intuitive for the management roles, because they're creating more dynamic positions and in an ever-changing environment, which is more consistent with the way that life is in its ever-changing, spiraling nature. So many masters have accomplished different feats over time, different manifestations of their own spirit. And if you read the book Autobiography of a Yogi, you have some really, really great examples and some great explanation as to how a lot of these things can happen. You know, Lahiri Mahasaya, the book Autobiography of a Yogi is written by Paramahansa Yogananda. He's considered to be one of the divine masters. from my experience, I've seen him in meditation, and I would consider him to be so as well. His master's master, Lahiri Mahasaya, was in bed with his wife when his wife complained because she said that he wasn't spending enough time with the family. Instead, he just was downstairs all the time with his disciples, teaching them different spiritual truths and different gifts, you know, helping them unlock their intuitive gifts, right, through their establishment of their personal faith and their growth spiritually. So at that point, Lahiri Mahasaya actually just disappeared right in front of her from the bed. Now, this is the story that his wife told Yogananda, and when he was trying to do research on him to get more information about him, because Lahiri Mahasaya blessed Yogananda when he was a little baby. Anyway, Lahiri Mahasaya disappeared right there in front of his wife's very eyes, and then his wife couldn't hear her, not with her ears. He couldn't hear him. She couldn't hear him, but not with her ears. Instead, she heard him from all of the walls in the room. She heard him speaking from all of the walls in the room. And then he said what he said, and he reappeared. And at that point, she considered him to be his master. And this is in the Indian culture, you know, back then. So this isn't more a reference to the hierarchy, but rather the actual phenomena that the woman said she saw with her very own eyes and then passed down to a spiritual guru, Yogananda. At this point, he had multiple schools and was very popular in America. Now, Sri Yukeswar was Yogananda's master. Sri Yukeswar came back from the dead. He died March 9th, 1936 at 7 p.m. On June 19th, 1936, Yogananda was in his hotel room at 3 o'clock when Sri Yukeswar came back. All the walls of the hotel room disappeared, and Yogananda wasn't meditating. He was just sitting there, and he had what's in the book as a 6-7-page conversation about the astral plane. Now, if you guys really are interested in finding out information about the astral plane, there's some very, very, very good detailed information there. Dr. Evan Alexander, he's a neurosurgeon. He went outside of his body for 7 days. I don't know if this was spoken about on another show, but he was on Oprah. And he went outside of his body for 7 days while in a coma due to E. coli meningitis. He came back, and after 2 months, he was just fine and wrote a book and everything. So he got all his neuroscience information back, but he also retained all of the information that he got while out of his body, and he had an extraordinary experience in his book, Proof of Heaven. And he is one of the best indicators of what happens to our brains, because we're inevitably products of our environment when we're not intentionally applying our free will in the proper directions. At the end of the day, if we're not aware, a lot of times we're indirectly affected by our environment. And ultimately, the way that academia works, the way that the world of science works, especially Western science, is very left-brain oriented. And he saw that this major disconnect between who he was and who he is now and trying to reconcile the two. And he then went and did a bunch of research on near-death experiences. And he found that, you know, there it is again, the scientific proof of spirit is in the near-death experience itself. And there's also a world of healing capacity in the near-death experience, right? There's all kind of, once somebody firmly connects to the vibration of unconditional love, that's a state of infinite harmony, because that vibration is always present. It's just like the air we breathe. As a matter of fact, it is, until we spoil it. So when we really live in that state of harmony, the law of attraction works, because of course it would work. There are all kinds of other laws that are associated with the program of our extremely sophisticated, ever-expanding universe, multiverse, actually. There are billions of universes. So, you know, I'm here to say that, you know, working with the astral plane is something that you can do without dying. And doing it without dying begins with DMT. It begins with trance consciousness, which is what is a product of the meditations, various forms of meditations. Ultimately, what they're neurologically doing within the individual, scientifically speaking, they're inducing a state of trance consciousness, which is putting the body on a state of co-pilot, right? Mm-hmm. So it's regulating your breathing, it's regulating all your cellular function, all your organ functions, right? So that you can do something that is mechanically impossible, but because we're not mechanic, we're organic. Right? So part of us can be in here and part of us can be out there. Mm-hmm. Now, to the extent that we're attached to our material form, our bodies, our friends, our identities, our egos, all of these things, as you read different and hear about people's different near-death experiences, you'll see that the extent to which somebody can travel on the astral plane depends purely on how attached they are to their physical form and the life that they have and their identities and all those things. So this is something that's very difficult to do because you feel like you're dying. That's the whole point. That's where the I die daily comes from. But it's the trusting in God, right? And the purpose of trying to establish a direct divine connection, one where you can visibly see divinity, right? Whatever divinity is to you. Because ultimately, it is still divinity. Mm-hmm. And if you see that experience can't be taken away from you. It has an enormous, immeasurable healing effect. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
And what you're saying is really, really powerful. And I'm going to bring on the next person after I make my comments about this for her to, Ms. Rashad, so she can talk for 15 minutes and then we'll have a commercial break. And I'm keeping the lines open for all of you so we can have like a round table discussion. And then people will call and to ask you questions. Listening audience and participants, make sure you do not have anything on in your house like a radio or trying to listen to yourself on the computer because it would give me feedback. You know, you hear that reverberating sound. So make sure everything in your house is quiet as we, if you want to be on the air. Okay? Wendell, I think what you're saying is so profound. I think that we've had several people who are into metaphysics and into astral projections now talk about these experiences. And quite a few people do astral traveling at night, but they're not consciously aware of it. What you're saying now is to consciously put yourself in a state and to monitor the state while you're being aware of what you're doing, as opposed to, because every time most people go to sleep, I know for me, I travel all the time because I can feel my body, my spirit, my soul come back, my spirit rather come back into my body, and sometimes it's not a smooth landing, and I feel the jolt. So I tell people,
yes,
when you feel the jolt, that
feel
means
the
that
jolt.
You've been out traveling. And
right.
So what you're now telling people is when they now do it to be aware of it, I know of people who have seen themselves when they've been, like especially when they're on operating tables. Quite a few people have said that they have traveled out of their bodies and drifted up to the ceiling, and they've been able to look down at their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they've seen that, it scares them, so they jump right back into the body.
Bro, yeah, that's the whole point. But that's the greatest anxiety of all this, right? We only have one body. We only have this one life to live. You know, live it like it's your last. Live in the moment, da-da-da-da, right? And but we forget about the law of conservation of energy. We forget that this everything is only getting bigger. There's only more and more energy, and we can't destroy any of it. That's beyond our capacity. That's the law. The law is on us, not on creation itself. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the law. So ultimately, the you know, it. Sorry, I just. Yeah, you know.
I feel and hear your passion. I'm so impressed with it. Like I said with you, you know. I have.
Well, here. This is what I'm trying to say. When we understand the what we have here, the gift that is the scientific proof of spirit, right? We have something with real utility. For example, Dr. Eben Alexander. I don't want to tell this guy's book for him, but there's one moment where there's a woman who's a psychic, right? I think her name is Sylvia, and his wife, Holly, gets Sylvia. Now, he never believed that she was a psychic. Him, with his extremely smart brain, stuck in left brain world, just assumed she was an extremely good guesser, okay? So, now, he also was surprised to find that when his back was really hurting, right, when the meningitis started, right, that when his wife rubbed his back, just her hand rubbing his back, that it actually made it feel better. And he was actually really surprised that to find that none of his medication made it feel better. But this Reiki that she didn't know she was doing to his back actually made it feel better. And this is all part of our formless gifts. This is all our formless nature. This is all once we embrace it, we become empowered in these truths. This spiritual knowledge can be used with willful intent. And so The story about Eben Alexander and the psychic is such that while he was out of his body in the underworld, the Holly
hold that thought. I want you to hold that thought because I don't want to give too much away now because I have to bring on another guest. But please bookmark that thought about Dr. Eben Alexander, who is a neurosurgeon, Harvard trained,
yes,
very linear in his thinking. So bookmark that thought. Wendell, because I want to bring in the guest before we reach the 8 o'clock hour. Okay. She didn't press the one. Hopefully this is... Greetings. Is this
Hello?
Ms. Rashad? Is this Ms. Rashad?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Ms. Rashad?
Yes, this is, and I'm hoping that the background noise you're not able to hear. I am in a place where it is so noisy, and I'm having to be here.
If it becomes too noisy, we will let you know. But, okay, all right, so would you like to share your story? Because if it becomes really, really noisy, then I would just let you know and have to put you on mute.
Thank you. It's okay. And this way I will just excuse myself and we could always do the interview at another time. But at this point, I just wanted to say that I grew up in a family with both parents. And sometimes at this point in my life, I see where that is rare. And so a lot of that has to do with what the other two guests were actually speaking on, the unconditional love that was given to me as a child. I think it had a lot to do with where my mind was when this actually happened to me. And then growing up in a farm area where it was, as a child, I was able to experience what it meant to be in touch with creation, what it meant to understand how plants and animals actually communicate with each other in the land that they are, shall I say, they, on the land that they eat from, that they grow from, that they experience. And I watched different kinds of animals in the area that I grew up in. And then in the education that I had was a very unique education. My mom took me out of school when I was in sixth grade, and so I had to actually really teach myself. I had to actually teach myself because my sisters, they were all gone to college, and the only one that was left in the house was myself and my younger sister. So I actually taught her at the age of 12 her preschool all the way up until she was in about third grade. I was her teacher. So was a very unique experience for me as a young child coming up. I took on a lot of responsibilities. And then my dad was sick. My mom was always gone. I had to take care of him. So I think a lot of what happens to people, the Lord gives us tools in different times and different periods that we're growing up. There's different levels of development that people have when you're growing from an infant to a toddler to a teenager to a young adult to a senior citizen. So you have your areas of development, stages of development. And in each of these stages, when you experience certain things in your life, they're tools. And so sometimes when things happen to you, like having what I call an out-of-body experience, it has to do with where your mind is at the time it happens. And I really enjoy the previous two guests that spoke on the unconditional love, spoke on the submission and the humbleness that you have to have in order to really be able to have that contact or connection with the highest source of love that is so very important. So in this experience that I had actually, from growing up and being educated, like self-educated, and then getting married and being in a car accident on the way to work, which is how it kind of started. I was myself and my husband, we were on our way to work. As we were driving from Illinois to Wisconsin, this was, oh my God, a 90 miles that we had to drive every day to get to work and go back home. And we were putting in 12, sometimes, 15 hours at a time, and then had to drive home and then drive right back. So it had gotten to a point where I guess he had gotten very exhausted, and we were on the freeway, and we ended up in an accident, and I ended up not going to the hospital. Did not go to the hospital after this accident. Got right back
in the
car.
Did your husband go to the hospital?
No, neither one of us. Neither one of us went to the hospital. which we should have. It wasn't a very bad accident, but we did not go. Just because we did not get physically hurt or bruised, we were not aware of the other organs that were had been damaged inside. Personally, myself, I was not aware of all of the vibration and the shaking and the, just the whole accident itself, what it did to my body. I had no idea. So I was about 32, 33 years old when this happened. I am in my 50s now. And I was, you know, prepared to just go to work. I said, well, I'm okay. I'm not bleeding. You know, I'm fine. We got back in the car and finished driving, went to work. That particular experience, was not aware that of the damage that it did to my body until about 3 years later. And I ended up in the hospital, long story short, ended up in the hospital. And they found out that I had actually was born with what is called a Chiari malformation. Now, that is a very rare deformation of the spinal cord that runs from the base of the shoulder blades to the beginning of the skull of the head, and that those areas in there between the spinal cord, between the shoulder blade, and between the beginning of the skull, they were damaged. They were damaged very badly, and like I said, I had already been born with a rare spinal cord disease, and so that just really made bad matters worse. So in having a correction, I went into the hospital to get all of this damage corrected. And as I went under, I was normal. Everything was normal. The operation itself went well. It was a 27-hour operation. I was on the operation for that long. I mean, it did not come out of this particular surgery until after 27 hours. I mean, the doctors were on the clock for that long with me on the table. And I came through, and as I was coming out of the, the surgery, the after surgery, I came out, I was able to talk. I was not aware that I was not going to be able to walk. I was not aware that I had actually been partially paralyzed on the left side of my body. I was not aware of any of this, any of the physical damage. So I'm laying in the hospital bed, and the nurse comes in. She checks me. She says, "Well, you know, Ms. Rashad, it's time for you to go to sleep. You need to, you know, make sure you're quieting yourself down." And they would always come in because I'm a kind of I wanted to get out the bed, and I wanted to walk, and I wanted to get around, and she told me that I couldn't do that. So I said, okay, I'm fine. I'm going to lay myself down and quiet myself. I went to sleep, and when I went to sleep, it was not a dream that I was in. It was actually an out-of-body experience that I had, and I call it that because I feel like when you dream, it's almost like having an out-of-body experience also because they say that sleep is the sister of death. So every night when you lay down, you're actually going into a very close similarity of what would be considered death. So I'm in this experience, this out-of-body experience, and I could actually... It started where I'm sitting in a boat, and I'm sitting in a boat with Captain Hepburn, mm-hmm. and I'm smelling these colors, and I know for surety I am not in a place that is, usual. This was not a usual place, not a normal place, so I knew that. And the boat that I was in with Catherine Hepburn it was floating, but not on water. So I said, okay, this is very unusual. I could smell the colors. I'm in a boat, and the boat is not floating on water. Something is different about this particular place where I am. And so I realized, okay, I must be in a type of heaven. So I told Ms. Hepburn, I said, you know, I really like this place. I want to stay. And she says, no, you're only here to be a traveler and only a temporary traveler. You cannot stay. You must go back. So when she said go back, I looked. I said, oh, where am I? If I am not in my body, then where am I? And I looked and I could see myself. I could see myself in my bed, in the hospital bed. And I said, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to that. I want to stay here. I like the way it makes me feel. I want the experience to continue. She said, no, you have to go back. And I'm looking at souls. I know they were souls, Dr. Franklin. They were people. But then you could not see the feet. You could not see their hands. But you could see that they were shapes of body forms. And you could see their head, you know, they were with a body form, but there was no hands, no feet. And they were moving quickly across this bridge. And I told Ms. Hepburn, I said, I want to go over there where they are. They look like they're in a hurry to go somewhere that must be important. I want to go. And she said, no, you are only a traveler here. You're only a traveler. You cannot stay. It is not your time yet. It is not your time. So when, again, in her, you know, certain words that she used just allowed me to know that it was not a dream I was having and that I was definitely out of my body having an experience. So, you know, that was something that, and then I woke up, when she sent me back, I was trying to catch my breath, and I couldn't seem to be able to, you know, to breathe. And the only thing I could do was scream. I screamed, and the nurses came in the room, and they were trying to, you know, find out what was going on. And so they finally calmed me down, and I started telling the nurse that, you know, I could smell the colors. I could smell the colors, and I could tell them, you know, I smelled the... I could name the colors. I named the colors of colors I had never seen before. And it was just amazing for me to be able to say these things and tell her where I had been. And I started telling her, I said, the doctors were in the room a few minutes ago, weren't they? And I said, they were rubbing my body. You know, I said, what was the doctor doing? Why was he rubbing my body and rubbing my legs? She said, no. She said, the doctor hasn't been here. She said we called the doctors to come. She said, but they're not here yet. But they have not been here all day, you know, except for in the morning to see you. I said, no. I said, the doctors were here. I seen them. She said, how could you have seen them? She said, you have been unconscious for the last hour and a half. And they had called the doctors. I was not aware that they had actually called the doctors because they were prepared to actually have the doctors pronounce me deceased. And that part I did not realize until after I had gotten out of the hospital. Nice nurse actually tell me that, you know, the reason why they had called the doctors, because I was asking them why were they calling the doctors at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, generally the doctors come in until the morning to check the patients, and after they go through, you know, morning check, and they, you know, do their regular routine, they go home until it is, you know, necessary for them to come back. And this was 3 o'clock in the morning when this had happened to me with the experience that I had. And so she was telling me when I asked her about, you know, the doctors rubbing my body, she was saying that there was no possible way that I would know that, because at the time that the doctors was in the room, I was definitely unconscious. I said, well, I said, I seen the doctor. He was rubbing my body. He was in I was wondering, you know, it was actually the other doctors that were around the bed were saying, well, why is there so much water coming out of the body of this patient? And it was water coming out of my pores everywhere. I mean, just like as though someone had, and this was, I would say, not like perspiration.
Mm-hmm.
This was just like water flowing from my body. And I could see that. And that scared me. That scared me because I had, you know, it's like I've seen perspiration come from my body before, but I'd never seen it coming out of body the way it was coming out of my body then. And I mean, all over from head to toe, all at the same time, water just pouring out of my body. And that's the reason why the doctors was rubbing my legs and my hands and my arms and trying to see, well, like, you know, is she cold? Is she hot? No temperature, nothing unusual, just the water was flowing out of my body, and I could see that. And so that's why I told the nurse, you know, what I saw. She could not believe that I had actually seen all of this happen, because she told me, she said, no, you could not have seen this, because she said this was happening while you were unconscious, and we were trying to, you know, bring you back to consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm telling you, I saw this. So...
Wow.
That, again, like I said, they've actually documented it, this particular situation that I've just told you. They put it in the doctor's report on the patient, and so that, you know, was just something that from that time on, I felt like it was another tool. It was another tool that the Almighty gave me to use and being able to deal with people and mm-hmm. being able to actually deal with my life the way whatever our highest source have us to do. There's something about people that have those experiences. And I really believe these are special people. I mean, I'm not trying to be condescending, but I really believe that people that have the out-of-body experiences in a major way, again, like mm-hmm. I say, to me, when you go to sleep at nighttime and you have dreams, you know, that is a small sampling of having an out-of-body experience when you dream. But when you mm-hmm. have a true out-of-body or near-death experience, that, I would say, puts you in a little bit more special place because you're more connected with what your purpose in life is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something that you have experienced that you must give back to society. And I
That's
do believe that
point.
When Captain Hepburn was telling me, excuse me?
That's a very, very good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When Captain Hepburn was telling me that it's time for you to go back, that was saying to me, because when she said, no, you're only a traveler here. This is a temporary space that you were in, and you have to go back. When she sent me back, I felt like I had a message that I was carrying or needed to carry back to society to say, like the previous guest was saying, this physical or organic state that we're in as human beings is only temporary, it is not permanent, but it is not the end. It is not the only life experience that you should look forward to. It is something greater than this. And this is what she was saying to me. You are a traveler here. You are the highest source has given you an opportunity to see those souls crossing that bridge. But you are going to go back and you are going to let society know that this actually does exist. And we can actually bring whoever we wish, whoever we will, the highest source, our Lord, can bring whoever he wishes to experience this, to see this, so that, again, I believe it was Jesus, the prophet Jesus that said that the Lord never leaves himself without a witness.
Mm-hmm.
He never leaves himself without a witness. There's always someone that he leaves here on the planet Earth to witness that whatever he says, his people, wherever he has told creation, wherever he has told the human being that exists, he will give you a real human body witness to tell you, yes, what God has said, what the highest source has said, what the power of love has given us does exist. That was the message I felt like Katharine Hepburn had gave me to send back. And I've always been very, I don't know, she was the type of person to me that had certain kinds of experiences herself in life.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, on that note, what I want to do now is have a brief commercial break, and then I will open up the phone lines for listening members to call in, and we can go back to each guest experiences as well. But I wanted each of you to introduce yourselves to share with the listening audience what your metaphysical and or near-death experiences have been. And metaphysics, as I said, is anything that is not dealing with the physical, any experiences that you may have had with your religious icon, be it the Christ, be it Buddha, be it whatever belief system you believe in. So
okay.
I am going to have a brief commercial break, and then when we come back, I'm going to open up the phone lines. The number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. 1-818. Oh, okay.
Yeah, in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
1-818-572-8023. Press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Okay, and we'll be back after this brief commercial break.
Are you stressed, tired, need to relax? Peace Be Still, a natural holistic aromatherapy blend, is your answer. My name is Jacqueline Scott, and I have been a faithful user for years. For more information and to purchase Peace Be Still, a wonderful blend for the entire family, go to Amazon.com or call 770-808-8051 today.
Welcome back. This is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host of the show. The topic this evening is metaphysics and near-death experiences, part two. I had this topic on about a month ago, and we had such an overwhelming response to the topic that I decided to have part two. And Ms. Rashad is in an area, I had to mute her mic, that's becoming a little noisy. So I would just bring her in a little bit, but there's a lot of noise now in her background. So, for listening audience members, if you want to call us, feel free to call. And I wanted to bring both Hugh and Wendell in on the discussion again. And I wonder, you wanted to talk about, I told you to bookmark your comment. We were about to talk about the deeper experiences, the underworld experiences. And what I want to do, too, is just, I know we understand it at a higher level, but if we could just break it down for people who are familiar with these terms and make it somewhat, not overly simplistic, because my audience is more advanced than that, but I have people who are not familiar with the topic at all. And
right.
So they need to have it broken down in a way in which they can comprehend it, because I know we have people of all, from ages 25 and up, and people 60s, 70s, and 80s are listening. So we want to make sure that they understand what we're talking about. Okay?
Okay. Well, whenever there's a reference to the astral plane, it's just talking about the spiritual plane, the plane where spirits reside, and it's there are higher vibrational planets there on that plane. You know, they're heaven-like planets and all kinds of, there's more to the world than what we see. There's more in the unseen than in the seen, and that's the principle. It's either you can see it when you look outside and look at the stars in the sky, you know that there are way more stars and way more planets than all that we can see up there, and the same goes for all the energy that's out there and everything else. With Ibn Alexander, the whole thing I was talking about was situations where you can use the ability to access the astral plane for you know, particular for, you know, various purposes while here on Earth, you know, before you die. So this woman Sylvia was a psychic, and
Sylvia Brown.
It may have been Sylvia Brown. They didn't put her last name, but she was brought in, and what she did was she meditated from home, and she put a fishing rod into the underworld, and she was fishing for Ibn, and she did this with great intent, okay, and she was very good at what she did. She had she'd been practicing a long time. It's just like any other craft, you know, you work with. And so she felt a tug, and on the other side, Ibn, he saw her face, and nobody else, he saw other faces, but all the other faces that he saw in the walls of the underworld were family members that were at his bedside. Sylvia was the only person that actually wasn't at his bedside, whose face that he saw while he was out of his body. And so in that way, he came back and said he saw Sylvia, and they told him, yeah, well, we asked Sylvia to go find you. And she came back and said, he's going to make it. And she said this on day two or three. She said that he's going to make it, but she doesn't know how long it's going to be, you know, and it took 7 days before he would ultimately come back.
So when you say the underworld, what are you talking about?
Well, he found himself in multiple different realms. At first, he found himself in the underworld, and then one of his guides found him and transported him up into a more heavenly plane, and that's where he had, a more positive experience. He had an understanding of, you know, unconditional love. He understood that God is real. He understood creation. He has a bunch of different messages in his book, just like Ms. Rashad, you know, and Mr. Charlson and myself. You know, when you have an experience directly with divinity, with divine energy. Me, I almost became light. Me and my fiance, we actually had a shared astral projection where we left our bodies together, and we were able to actually share what we saw when we came back, and I had to wait for her to come back. All of these things, you know, we were able to bounce off of one another, so we have proof from a shared experience standpoint that we were both out at the same time, and we actually had harmonized our astral bodies into one astral body, one spiritual body.
Intended for that to happen. That was based on focused intention? Or was
This was purely by accident that this happened. This was actually more of a divine intervention moment than intentional. But I'm writing a book about all this. So I don't want to go into too much detail about the details about the astral projection itself. What I will say is that I'm teaching people. I'm 28 years old. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I went to Emory University. I grew up very, very poor in Section 8 housing, but my mother loved me really, really well. She was a single mom. She raised three kids on her own, and you know, I was in a program that got me out of public school and into private school because I was lucky enough to be as intelligent as I was, and you know, I left. I got into real estate. I had a child. My child was 6 years old. I've lived a very full life. I went into real estate for 2 years. I did mortgages. I taught people about buying homes, free credit restoration. I went from there into healthcare finance consulting, you know, and I was doing all these things to make money to provide for my family, all these different rational, logical, left brain motivations. meanwhile, I majored in philosophy in college. I was a truth seeker all my life. So, you know, I was kind of lining up. I'd quit my job and I'd started my own business. I'd always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I always taught other people how to be entrepreneurial. I was always self-guided. I was always very intuitive. And I also had all kinds of different experiences with spirit, but, you know, would block different things so that I wouldn't be scared or be ostracized or all these different kinds of things. And having my out-of-body experience really just reinforced a lot of things I intuitively knew to be true, because I had to use my intuition growing up. I'm a black kid that had all the odds stacked against me. I've been to jail multiple times, and none of it's been my fault. And I'm doing just fine. My record is clean. But this is not the case for a lot of other people. You know what I'm saying? A lot of other people couldn't pick up the phone and have John Gotti's attorney be the person that represented you when they tried to rob you at the party you threw at a, you know, I was doing event planning when I was in college. I was throwing parties at clubs in Buckhead, Atlanta, you know, and one of the bouncers tried to rob me at the back door. And then he ended up trying to beat me up while with all my money in his pocket, while I was trying to go, you know, take the owner out. Next thing you know, I'm in jail, you know. But all these things happen. Ultimately, it harnesses a spiritual strength. And when you have a moment where you do connect with divinity, it brings that sense of reality to the whole formless aspect that you know is in you. The light that's in you. We're all bodies. We're all human bodies, right? That's the way we're attached to. We don't realize that we're spirits and our spiritual energy emanates outside of our bodies, that we actually reside within our spiritual auras. And in that way, we're greater than the cells that we think we are. We don't even understand our greatness, caught up in our egos. We're, you know, and so, you know, there's a lot of waking up, even as we wake up, that we can continue to do, because, you know, the whole point is to master the understanding. And mastering the understanding is seeing how many different ways you can get to that same place, because then you truly understand the essence of what that thing is. You know, and when we live in a world with a bunch of divisive religions, you know, you don't have that cross religion reference. You know, only people like me who you know, don't attach themselves to anything, but instead look at all things. You know, get the benefit of seeing the harmonies in multiple different things. But other people are too scared to look at other people's religion. Other people don't are too scared to understand why other religions have multiple deities. When you understand each of these deities really were representative of elemental forces of life, and that they were actually formlessly appreciating the elements themselves, and that actually has a formless presence, that there's a law of attraction associated with that and sending that out into the multiverse, you know what I mean? We still aren't understanding the reality of the magic that the ancient Egyptians did. You see?
But I think more and more people now are coming into that. I think because, like I tell people, I came into this planet, I know that I was an indigo child. And for those people who don't know what that is, I could see things behind the veil. I was psychic since birth. And I didn't know that. And I was just very, very blessed and very fortunate that I had a mom who was a sharecropper and who did not finish high school, who allowed me to be who I was. At times she didn't really understand me and used to say she's strange, but she still allowed me to be who I was because I could see, and I thought everyone could. I knew things. I thought everyone knew things. I could see and know things before things happened. Even now, and I explain things to people, and they still try to put words in my mouth about what I'm saying. And I had an experience earlier today, and I just allow people to talk because they're trying to put their experiences on what I'm getting from within. And I used to try to defend what I say. I don't do that anymore. But I've always been able to do that, and I was very blessed that, as I said, my mom didn't try to make that seem strange or weird. She didn't know what to do with it, but at the same time, she didn't label it, and she didn't tell me not to say what I saw or felt. I've had friends who also experienced things as I, but their parents told them, you can't say that. Oh, you can't say you see that. No, you don't see that. So they made them close their third eye, and they became inhibited. So what you're talking about now, this is the age, as I said earlier, in terms of the 21st, the energy on this planet has shifted. And there are some days when I feel like, oh, my gosh, I don't feel the shift, you know, because it seems like things are accelerating, gotten worse. But they haven't. It's just like when you detox, when you do a detoxing, it has to bring all the toxic stuff up. So if people are still seeing craziness, it's because the planet is purging the racism. It's purging the sexism. It's purging the homophobiaism. It's purging the classism. It's purging the colorism. It's purging the ageism. So it may look worse, but it's on its way out. And those energies know that they're on their way out. All of the people who believe in that Shark Tank mentality, like on the show The Shark Tank, or the Donald Trump mentality, you know, you gobble them up first and you have no compassion and no sense of, you don't feel anything for anybody else. It's only about you. That mentality is gone. So what you're saying now is that I can assure you that those people who have seen the world like you have, like I have, are now coming to the forefront. They have been there all along, but they didn't know that there were other people like them, because if they talked about their experiences, people would call them crazy and abnormal. To be called weird and abnormal is the highest compliment, because to ascribe to normalcy or to want to be normal, because that's an oxymoron, really, because you're divinity. So for you to want to be normal is going against the nature of who you are, because you're not normal. So for people to be called abnormal or weird, that means that people are saying you have stepped into your greatness. You know who you are. You're choosing not to be labeled, and you're not going to allow people to intimidate you and have you feel as though there's something wrong with you. I want to bring you in, Hugh. You've been pretty quiet.
I'm enjoying the dialogue, and I just wanted to interject that I'm very impressed. I think Wendell must be an old soul to have so much wisdom at such a young age. And there's something that I just want to interject too, is the way he spoke about his experiences, it appears that he came to a place of forgiveness and release. And that is very, very important in what people have to do with their lives. And I compliment you so much for doing that. And that's where the love comes out in your voice for the future for mankind. I hope that Dr. Franklin might share my phone number with you, because I don't use email. I'm from New York, and I want to see if I can do some things to help you further expand and diversify what you're doing to bless a lot of people.
Thank you. That's really awesome. Thank you. Everything you said is really awesome. Thanks.
Well, I've been through it myself. And that's how we recognize each other. And if people want to know more about me, I don't know if you have my name on the show page. If they just Google my name, there's other interviews I've done. But I've had some pretty bizarre stuff. And we might get into a little bit of telepathic messages as part of the metaphysical, because I've had some of those. And I'll give this one brief description of an experience that is quite bizarre. I read a book back in the early 80s titled The KGB, The Eyes of Russia. It was written by a high-level CIA operative by the name of Harry Rositzky, R-O-S-I-T-Z-K-E. And the timing was such that I believe it was helpful to me in eventually exposing a former federal government bureaucrat for fraud, which indirectly eventually led to the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame, the third highest office in this country. Now, I had actually spoken to the author after reading his book. It was back before the internet. He had retired from the CIA, had a gentleman's horse farm in Virginia, and was getting into studying religion, spirituality, and theology. I lost track of him over the years, but again, if it was a telepathic message or something triggered me to see if he was still alive, I Googled his name on the internet and saw that he had passed. When I read his obituary, I was shocked at four synchronicities that jumped out at me immediately. His name was Harry. My father's name was Harry. His wife's name was Barbara Helen. My mother-in-law's name was Helen. His daughter's name was Ann Elizabeth Hunt. My wife's name is Ann Elizabeth, and my mother's maiden name was Hunt. To have four synchronicities from somebody like that is quite bizarre. So it's just to show that there's so much that we don't know, and when we open our minds instead of closing it off and being narrow-minded, but be discerning with the messages, because it's not where you can say the devil made me do it. No,
right.
You have your free choice and your free will, and you know what's good and bad with coming to the age of reason or whatever. So, and also, I just want to interject quickly, when we have these horrible tragedies, like what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, they're now looking to, and to some degree, it has to be done with common sense. There's no need for a deer hunter to have a submachine gun out in the woods. You have to draw some reasonable lines. But at the same time, if they took away all the guns, people forget, and they've already passed laws or looking at it too. We had a bombing in Oklahoma City. That was fertilizer. That wasn't a gun, my friend. So, we're going to ban everything, and there's enough laws. They keep passing more laws constantly. And I just throw it out there as a laugh because I say, one of these days a Gestapo force is going to bust down my door and take me off my throne for using too much toilet paper. Where is enough enough? Yeah, let's get to the root of the problems with the metaphysical, with the spiritual, with the love. Come to solutions by getting into the communities that you would drop the racial baloney, embrace our differences, yet keep our heritages. Understand where we came from. And I don't know how like attract like, perhaps, but I have a beautiful gentleman who's on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, one of the most poorest places in the country. And this person is just enjoy representing his elders who are being deprived their most basic necessities of food and proper medical attention and many other. They're dirt poor, and he's helping them. That's his whole focus. That keeps him happy. He's like a Jesus for his people in some ways. And I'm doing what I can to help him, but just to get his personality out there to show he did nothing. America took all the indigenous people's lands away, and they genocided their people. And all he's trying to do is hang on to the little bit that he's got left to give it to the children that are being born so that they can keep passing that down. It's done word to mouth. It's not something that's documented in any other way. And there's special even inflections and tones in their voices when they speak in their language that have very deep meaning that nobody else would understand. That stuff has to be preserved because they know how to heal Mother Earth. And if the whole grid goes down, we're going to be dependent on type people for our future too. So we all have to find the best of each of us and come together and create the best out of love. The old paradigm has been, since the beginning, control, conquer, and divide. We've never gone to a place of unconditional love. If we can go there and just root out the corruption, bring it to justice, and not do it with hate and killing and whatever, just do it peacefully, let go, let God with the things we can't handle, we will have a beautiful world.
And an interesting thing about this is that the movement that's underfoot now is metaphysical and spiritual. We've had the civil rights movement, and we had someone talk about that last week, Reverend Banks, which was a physical, tangible movement, which was very necessary. We've had the Black Power movement. We've had the women's movement. We had the movement for migrant workers during the late 60s and 70s. So we've had these physical movements, and now we see we have to take it to the next level, not to dismiss what happened, because those movements were very necessary. And to some degree, you still have to have some physical action. But what we're doing in addition to that is we now are taking it to the spiritual and metaphysical. As I state when I do my lectures, and in my personal conversations, everything begins in the world of spirit. And so what we do, which is very interesting, and that's why how I work with my clients, I send them to a good friend of mine who's an excellent naturopath, Dr. Shea, because she's phenomenal. She deals with energy as well. However, I deal exclusively with energy. So I tell people, you can take an herb or take a pill. That's not the origin of the problem. The spiritual thought is what created the problem. So what you've said, Hugh, is so eloquently, and Wendell had also stated this, is that we have to start looking at the metaphysical level. Start dealing with the thoughts that created a lot of these things. So if you have peaceful thoughts, and I don't like what Gary Zukav says in Seat of the Soul. He has a line, he says, at first when I read it, I didn't understand it. If you see someone committing an offense, be it something, you know, a legal offense or a spiritual offense, to give you an example, if someone is being unkind and cruel to someone, you know, rather than judging that action of that person, how do you correct it? You be more kind and more gentle in all of your interactions so you cancel out theirs. I said, wow, that's powerful. So what you do, rather than looking at them and then walking away, you then take it upon yourself, because I've had to do this recently with something that's been happening with me that I'm going to talk about during Black History Month, because I'm in a Black History Month calendar. And I've seen some people do some very interesting things regarding my being in the calendar. You know, most people, 99% of the people have been very supportive, but some people that I thought would be very supportive have not been. And at first it was a little hurtful, but what I've decided to do is switch that energy and say, okay, they will no longer be in my inner circle, but rather than not loving them, love them even more, because it's easier for us to love people who are lovable. But to cancel out all the wrongs that we're talking about, if you see someone being racist, then you be more humane. If you see someone being disrespectful, you be more gentle and more kind. Because what the universe does, one thought of love goes out to 750,000 people. So if you have one thought of compassion and love, it cancels that out of the other person. What we normally do is we would judge that other person and then not be more of what we want that other person to be. We want them to change. You can't make anyone else change. So what you do is you just amp up your energy, which cancels them out, because love cancels out any negativity anyway. So what I'm choosing to do, more than on the physical level, because the physical level is the lowest dimension, I'm choosing to deal with everything initially on the etheric and spiritual level, and then it ripples down to the physical body, which is the last manifestation. So if you see someone being racist on your job, rather than giving into that and feeding that energy of despair or whatever, just sit back and say, I see the truth in you. I see the God in you. I'm only going to address the God in you, because everybody on this planet comes from the Most High, from the Universal One, from the source called God. So focus more on that energy. Because I had a discussion with someone earlier, and, you know, she was giving me words of wisdom, but I was wanting her to see, because I'm very, very aware of how I do this. I was telling her that God also gives us discernment. If I see, like, these two people that were not as supportive as I had wanted them to be, and that's me, my judgment. But rather than walking away and cutting them off, I'm upping the energy of love, unconditional love. At the same time, Spirit has given me discernment. You don't let people up close who don't understand how to give unconditional love. You can love them, and you can love them from afar. So God gives you wisdom and discernment, but love them nonetheless. So what you were saying about the elder on the reservation, what I think the universe is calling us to do is to go into spirit first and deal with everything spiritually, and then he would have to do less physical. Because what happens, like what Wendell was saying, when the guy robbed him and then blamed him, and he went to jail, then he called John Gotti's lawyer, and he was able to get out. That's metaphysical. So we have to do the civil rights movement, which was physical and tangible, but we now know we don't have to do it like that anymore. We can do some things like that to let people know we're aware of what they're trying to do in terms of the transgressions. But let's take this up to the higher level. We're now our light beings. Let's now use universal, metaphysical, spiritual solutions, because everything is metaphysical and spiritual. That's what I tell people. Like when we're dealing with diseases, I said, you know, what was given to me in meditation, we're using the wrong tools. If we are spiritual beings in a human body and we're using physical means for a spiritual being, that's why you can't have a solution for cancer on the third dimension, because you can't. You're using the wrong tools. And so until people come up with it, and some are, that's where the Office of Complementary Medicine is coming into play.
The cancer death rate dropped 20%, and you see there's an increase over the past. This is last year, the cancer death rate dropped by 20%. And there's also been an increase in the rise in spirituality. And this is just the establishment of identifying with a sense of meaning, people getting closer and closer to their sense of purpose. You also see 50% of people don't go to church. So now that creates a more mainstream environment. People who are prepared to unconditionally love, people who are prepared not to judge others for whatever their belief systems are. The reason why people aren't going to church is not because everybody's running around going screaming anarchy, but because there's a new generation of people who are free thinkers, who see the religious belief systems that are there, not the issue with necessarily the essence of the religion itself, the origins of the religion, but rather the different judgmental forms of judgment that happen from one religion to another. So people dissociate with religion completely and decide, I'm not going to go that route. I'm just going to love others and be nice and stick to the morals that I know to be true.
Right.
You see what I mean? But without understanding that you're a spirit, you're vulnerable, because spirits are still at work. Evil entities are still at work. Dark entities are still at work. Your ego is still created, and it still makes you extremely vulnerable. You know, so for example, when Hugh mentioned a great point. If we don't understand spirituality, we won't understand mental illness, and we won't understand how to resolve our problem of self-destruction. And what self-destruction is a human killing another human, because we're all the same, we're all connected. When we kill our planet, that's self-destructive also. So when we see somebody bomb someplace, that's self-destructive. You want to take away all the weapons. Nobody realizes that on that same day that Newtown happened, there was a kid in North Korea that stabbed like 22 kids at school. So if we take the guns away, kids could stab kids. It doesn't matter. There's definitely a value in terms from a risk management standpoint to doing an assault weapons ban. I mean, I think that's blatantly obvious, and the motivation behind not doing it is clearly monetary, and that's always been our downfall. You know, as it relates to being, you know, a leader of example, as it relates to us and other nations. You know, so the U.S. is going to continuously shoot itself in the foot and you know, have us shoot each other with more powered weapons, you know, when they're focused on money in the way that they are. But ultimately, when we realize that healing comes from within and not from without, then we can actually start to truly, you know, bring the doctor's job to an end. A doctor's job will never end. A psychologist's job will never end if nobody realizes that the healing actually comes from within. And so you will continue to see, you know, mental illness cause people to do terroristic things, because the healing has to come from within. Nobody's going to come from without and give it to you. At the end of the day, I could say whatever. You could say whatever. Everybody could talk about their experiences with divinity. But if you don't harness an experience with divinity yourself, then it won't come from within. If you don't sit there and listen to your inner voice, if you don't get rid of all the thought bacteria, if you don't clear and quiet your mind, the hardest thing for me to do in my life, you know, in terms of like a little challenge, it was meditate. Because in order to meditate, I had to actually forget everything that I learned first. And I had to seriously clear my mind. If you've been trying to wrap your head around everything for however long, that's really hard to do. But that's exactly where the healing benefits come, because you realize that you're freeing your spirit of all these things that you're thinking about. When, you know, the soul never dies. Your body, you know, you're getting all worried about your body or your job or all these different things, ultimately there are all these higher truths that are at work. These are all these greater forces you can pull on, you know? And people are now starting to craft their faiths and have them be independent of religious practices in a lot of different ways. So understanding a certain basic truth, you know, God is real, Jesus Christ died for our sin, you know, something like that, but not going so far into the actual religious practice, but trying to actually find the truth of spirit in nature. So, for example, DMT. DMT is the molecule that plants use to communicate with each other. This is called their messenger molecule. If a beetle's coming and eating a plant's leaf, right, it starts screaming with the DMT. Plants can hear, okay? Well, this is scientific. It starts screaming with the DMT, and then this signals to other plants that the beetles are out, you know, so put on protective toxins or whatever, and then it signals to other bees to come and start eating these beetles. Okay? Now, DMT is what's released every time that we go into a state of trance. It helps us to connect with our spirituality, and it naturally happens when we sleep, naturally happens when we meditate. We're trying to foster this way of formlessly connecting with the universe. You see what I'm saying? So now, all plants and mammals, all of them, we all have DMT, right? And anything that's living can synthesize it. So basically, anything that's living has DPT. Right? This is dimethyltryptamine is DMT, and DPT is what everything else has. So anything can make it. All, you know, a bunch of chickens, they all go into trance. So any mammal can go into a trance. And so we realize then that science has proved that plants and humans, when they communicate, when a human communicates with a plant, the plant does better. If you guys, I don't know how many people actually spend time with plants, but if you spend time with plants and you really appreciate them, you'll catch yourself in a state of trance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
we
do,
work in. Mm-hmm.
You realize that you guys are communicating.
And
so telepathy is totally real. Sorry.
Yeah,
you
on
know?
That note, I want to connect a caller. Greetings. Welcome to A Higher Consciousness.
Peace and love. Jamila.
Yes.
This
is
Sister Miriam Salaam. I'm not able to hear your voice. I can hear it on the phone, but it's not coming through on my internet, which I know is not my voice because I've been listening to other things, you know. I was just clicked back on a other show to make sure that, you know, wasn't anything wrong with the computer. So I'm coming back to you. I see you flashing up and everything, but I can't hear it on the internet.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting you on the phone.
Oh, okay. I was going to have them troubleshoot that, you know,
yeah,
afterwards.
Have anyone else called by looking at, on the internet?
Does anyone else who's on the line now? I have several people on the board. Has anyone else had that problem trying to hear on the internet? If so, press 1 so I can see if it's a problem.
I know you have about 12 more minutes to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one else has pressed 1, so I would.
But I've been enjoying it on the phone. But you know, you got these handphones, and it soon go out. If you know, you keep it off the stand.
Mm-hmm.
But I have enjoyed what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just really appreciate offering your comments and letting me know that there's a technical problem, and I would definitely let them know about that because I'm not sure what that could be at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not certain what that could be. So did you have a comment that you wanted to share with Wendell or with Hugh?
I was just, you know, enjoying their stories because, you know what, we all got a story, and you don't have time for... Because, you know, when I get started, I don't know when to quit.
No,
but like
well,
I
we
said,
have
I can,
12,
I can you know, I
minutes.
Can, I can also, you know, relate to some things that they're saying, you know, when you experience things in the divine, you're really not able to tell too many people about them because, like you say, they don't understand and they label you as being crazy or whatever. That's how I got connected up with you when I visited one of your workshops because you were saying some things that I had some experiences with, you know, but you just really couldn't talk to other people about them. But like I say, I'm enjoying their stories because it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always, tell people that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
So if we can ever realize that, you know, and come into that higher consciousness. People, like you said, people are in for the last year maybe beginning to realize that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm talking to more and more people that I'm able to communicate with, you know, that
mm-hmm.
understand the divine, you know. So I think 2013, you're going to see more of this and moving on in the years to come, you know.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very, very optimistic because
mm-hmm.
I see people evolving and moving more into the state of awareness because we were born with it. I tell people
yeah.
what I do is help people with my practice to
mm-hmm.
re-remember because you are part of God, so you came here with all of the intelligence and all of the abilities. In Christianity, the Christ said, you can do all of these things that I'm doing and more. And I remind people of that who are Christians, and they say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they don't believe it. They turn over their powers to the minister, to the bishop, to the pope, to everyone other than themselves. And they listen to these people tell them, well, you don't have the anointing. So if they haven't put their anointing on you and you have these gifts, then they try to state that you or infer that you are of the devil or you're practicing witchcraft. And that's the reason why it's so funny to me now having Reiki here
uh-huh.
in Atlanta, Georgia at
yeah.
two hospitals at
yes.
DeKalb Medical Center as well as the Cancer Treatment Centers of America because prior to these two institutions having it, a lot of fundamentalist religious people swore that it was the work of the devil. Now that
yeah,
the hospitals
know,
have it, they,
uh-huh.
you know, people are backing away from that nonsense.
Yeah,
you know,
I was
because they didn't understand it.
I had carried my sister to get her radiation treatment this morning, and this gentleman was sitting there, and he was in so much pain. And I sit there as long as I could, you know, before I said something to him, and then I felt led to say something, you know, to him and ask him some questions. So his son was with him, and I asked his son, did he know that out at DeKalb Medical that they had this cancer center that they was using Reiki? And he said no, so I told him about it. And then I says, well, I want to ask you that question before I tell you what I do. So I said, I'm a Reiki master, and would you allow me to do some energy on your father while he's sitting here because he's in so much pain? And his father said, I don't care what you do. So I did. Well, it's very short because, you know, you got people coming in and out. So I told him that, you know, I probably could come to him at another time and do it longer. But I did get in front of him and energize some Reiki, you know, to him, so the energy to him. So he said he felt much better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him my phone number and everything, and hopefully I will hear from him again, you know. But
mm-hmm.
like I said, a lot of people just don't know things that would be able to help them. And
mm-hmm.
I was very happy to help him in that way, to tell him about something that he didn't know anything about, you
right.
know. So hopefully, like I said, mm-hmm, and I don't like, you're talking about different, I don't like dealing with labels because
right.
I always tell people we are one humanity. And if we ever realize that we are all one, we came from one and we're going back to one, you
mm-hmm.
know. So we would be able to associate with each other and to love the gentleman. I guess he's a minister, I'm not sure, but he was talking about love, you know.
I hear.
So
mm-hmm.
we've got to learn how to love each other, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I really did enjoy listening to them. Okay?
Yeah. And thank
okay.
you. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Well, we're about to wrap this up. We only have about seven
minutes
left.
Okay.
About 6 minutes left for the show. And I just wanted to have the listening audience know again who these wonderful people are. Ms. Rashad had to get off the phone. But Hugh, if you want to give, before the we run out of time, if you would like to give the listening audience your contact information, feel free to do so.
If you have my name on your show page, that's enough, because I have plenty of stuff that keeps coming onto the Internet. But I just want to interject a couple of real quick points. And what you said before about being somebody that is harming someone else and just changing your atmosphere and putting more love into the world, that is so beautiful. It's a way of paying it forward. Now,
mm-hmm.
I want to flip-flop people just to, real quickly, into fear and back into love. Google nuclear suitcase bombs. Are we going to ban suitcases in the world? Also, I look up in the sky at the chemtrails. I laugh. I said, you're not going to kill me with that stuff. I'm going to go home when my mission is finished and God brings me home, not before. And are you going to be ready when that time comes? What are you focusing on? Focus on each moment of your life and how you can make the world a better place and leave a legacy for your loved ones. And finally, one quick thing right up where Wendell is, the church I was married in, there was a seer by the name of Veronica Lucan, and you can look at that site. It's got miraculous photos on it that are amazing, mm-hmm. other information. She even said that Satan's right at the top of the Catholic Church right now. The letters to the website are smwa.org, smwa.org. A beautiful show. I hope you didn't lose it for the people listening over the Internet, because this archive show should be listened to time and time again for all the wisdom it has. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Hugh. Thank you. And Wendell, what words of wisdom do you want to leave with the listening audience? Do you have any contact information that you want to leave, or the
sure,
name of your
sure.
forthcoming book?
If you wanted to, I do have a book coming. It's called Think With Your Heart. It's going to be out later this year, I think probably the fall. I'm teaching classes at the Open Mind Center, so if you went to the Open Mind Center and clicked on classes, spiritual classes, you'll see a couple classes about metaphysics there that I'm teaching. Wednesdays 7 to 8, the Open Mind Center's in Roswell. You can email me at wendell.matthews@gmail.com. Wendell.matthews, that's Wendell with one L, W-E-N-D-E-L. Matthews, M-A-T-T-H-E-W-S, @gmail.com. If you're looking for an apartment, you can go to my website, apartmentspotters.com. That's apartmentspotters.com. My last words for everybody is that we all were born out of love, and any evil that we see out there, any perceived wrong, anything bad, it's all transmuted love, and we can find the love in everyone and everything. And when you find that, you have infinite wisdom. You have access to divine power. Love is divine power. And
yeah.
You know, they're finding that there's subatomic particles that have moved that move faster than the speed of light. Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
these subatomic particles, they can give it any name they want. We can know intuitively that it is love. And it's what composes all things. And if we exercise
mm-hmm.
our right brains, if we really open up our intuitive minds, we will know this truth in our being and in our practice. And it really would change lives. It really does bring collective abundance. So, you know, if you want to save the world, you have to save the people who co-create destruction on the world. You have to save the people. That's the only way we're going to save the world. If there were no people here, the world would be just fine. The weather
mm-hmm.
would go and come, and the world would be just fine. We are destroying this world.
Yes.
And so
yes.
we have to save ourselves. We start by teaching the teachers so we don't teach our children wrong.
Right.
We start by removing competition and fear out of the classrooms. We don't
mm-hmm.
need grades to measure intelligence. We have to wake up and become higher thinkers. And we're still years away from where we can be. We have to know that there are civilizations out there. There are billions of planets and billions of universes. There are civilizations out there that are more advanced than we are. We have catching
right.
up to do in a lot of different ways. We don't
right.
have to
and
worry about them. We have to fix ourselves.
And on that note, I thank you
Beautiful.
So very much. And we're about to end. Next week's show is the beginning of Black History Month. We have Jacqueline Chester, who is the author of The Conversation Between President Barack Obama and Malcolm X. So please join us next week. And for those of you who would like to hear the show again, it's archived. And have a wonderful week and fill it full of love and light. Be blessed to be well.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.